Right now, it is time for This Week in the Lakefield Journal, and that means it's time to bring in a cast of thousands, ladies and gentlemen, today. We have in the center studio...
It's party time in here today. We've got Alexander Wilburn to talk about his outstanding spring tonic, and Ann Day to talk about Compass.
And on the telephone, ladies and gentlemen, the boss, Janet Manco. Hi, Janet.
Well, yes, the most boring one of them all, Janet. Here I am. Talk to them.
Somebody has to be a ringmaster.
That's right.
Well, yeah.
That's a story of my life. Okay.
You get the best outfit.
Marshall, you're not boring. Yeah.
All right. Let's go right to the Lakefield Journal. I love the picture on the front page, reeling in.
This is a week when we are so grateful for Ann Day and the many things she does. She's everywhere.
This is it. Thanks. The only week, Ann. That's it.
Yeah, next week, forget it.
I'll take it, Marshall.
Next week, you chopped liver. But we've got this beautiful photo from Ann who... we had the best time. I had the best time with you at the first day of fishing. We went out to Lake the Lake, and Ryland Soul, the cutest ever. Great photos inside from Ann and from Lance Christensen and Patrick Sullivan.
All right, big story though, which we videotaped it. It's on our Robinhood Radio TV Vimeo page. A ruling coming within the next, I think, 2 weeks now on the tax status of gear.
So, they have 10 business days from April 10th, and then after they make their decision, they have 7 days to notify gear. And I was a little surprised that people at Town Hall in North Canaan are making a big point about we have 7 days to notify them, which seemed odd to me. You'd think that they would just let them know right away. But as soon as we hear, we will let everybody know, and of course you will know as well. But this is a big issue in North Canaan. On the one hand, if gear is taxed, it could mean several hundred thousand dollars additional on the grand list, which would, you know, be helpful to the town. But on the other hand, gear is very important to people. They don't really want to see it struggling.
Yep. And then another story before we get to a really weird story, and that is Ian Struver, who is going to be the principal at Housatonic Valley Virtual High School once they negotiate the contract.
Right. And again, of course, he will be the principal again. He was excellent as an interim principal. The loveliest guy. We all love Ian, so we're very happy he's the head of the school.
And Alice Yoakum has been honored with the Housatonic Youth Service Bureau's Warner Award.
Alice Yoakum is one of my favorite people on the planet, and she's an amazing woman, has done so much for the community, and she's really one of those people who move here often say, oh, you know, you really have to be here for three generations before you're local, but people like Alice Yoakum do so much in the time that they're here that they become part of the fabric of society. So she's being honored by the Youth Service Bureau, the Donald Warner Award. She was friends with Donald Warner, and there's going to be a party in celebration of her April 20th at the White Hart if you haven't bought your ticket.
And if people don't know who Don Warner was, they should check out, because Don was quite a guy.
Yeah, part of the reason why we have ski jumping here.
All right. Now, this is the story that just absolutely astounded me when I covered it earlier this week, and that is the death of a child in another state.
Essentially, the death of two children.
And then... the death of the mother, the stepfather, and also the assailant himself, and all occurring basically
quickly
in Gaylordsville after the death of the children,
and seems sort of randomly. Well, so a very complicated story. I won't even try to explain it. If you've seen the movie Chinatown, let's start there. And but it happened to be driving through Gaylordsville, which is just below Kent. But also a story that's very much in Dover. So our New York paper, the Milwaukee News, Whitney Joseph did a very good job of taking a lot of disparate facts and putting them together for some clarity.
It's just an amazing story out here. Tim Abbott, Nature's Notebook, the big night of peepers and pals.
I was in Norfolk on Friday night, driving through the woods, heading up to a Great Mountain Forest, and through the as Tim points out, through the windows of the car, over the engine, you could hear the peepers. They were going crazy. One of Tim's most poetic, lovely columns about spring coming.
All right. We move inside the paper. Once again, the proverbial pictures of bears, but there is a bobcat, which is kind of stalking the grounds.
So Alex Wilburn, of course, has been laying out the page and was annoyed that we couldn't use the foxes that are in this week's Militant News. But Alex is coming up with the funny headlines for the animals.
Well, you could take the picture of that 600-pound bear that came up on my front landing the other night and just sniffed around and moved around. I've got people call them security cams. I don't. I call them bear cams.
Go ahead. Alex, go ahead and say it. Alex is so sick of the bears already.
I am tired of the bears.
Oh, you wouldn't be tired if you saw one, on your front deck.
That's right.
Anything that's twice the size of me, I get afraid of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. And I love bears. I love bears. Don't get me wrong. All right. On page A3, an interesting story on Sharon and the changing role of the superintendent, which is trying to be done throughout the region. It's a pretty interesting story right off the bat.
Right. And actually, Marshall and I were talking about this earlier, which is that the boards of education, the elementary school boards, are being given the job description for the superintendent. And when you look at it, like, my first thought was, you know, it's a conversation about how involved the superintendent should be with curriculum, which, of course, has been the conversation we've been having for the last year and a half at these board meetings. So now the boards of education are being asked, one hopes, to think about it and really weigh in on it, because this has been a really divisive issue in the region.
Well, it is, you know, in regards to having an assistant superintendent, several people years ago came up with the idea, well, let's have a curriculum director.
Yeah. Well, you know, Lou Timmelot will go on for an hour about this.
Yeah. It's okay. Pretty amazing. And the five W's and an H. I like that picture.
I just want to say, Patrick Sullivan is not a small person, and he's dwarfed by those Salisbury School boys. They're just immense. I guess there's a height requirement when you apply to Salisbury School. So we had they had like 15 kids in this journalism class from Salisbury School, and they came to visit us, and we had a great time with them, and we look forward to working with them again.
All right. And, you know, it's nice because we always bring the students from Hotchkiss in here, and they interview with us. All these students at these private schools are just absolutely
delightful.
Hey, the students also at Housatonic are amazing, don't get me wrong, but yes, we don't get a chance to see the students at the private schools all the time.
And like it is nice when they come in with their jackets and their ties on.
All right, I want to go to the sports page again because I think it's great. We've got the spectators watching the fishing derby over the Farmington River.
That's everything, a great photo from Shaw.
From our small things to these big things with fishing.
Yeah, lined up like in one of those, you know, English murder mysteries when the police line up all along the river. I mean, there they were, 4 o'clock in the morning, out there in the water fishing. God love them.
You know, when I first started Q103 and we started it in the railroad building, I was one day going out at like 4:30 in the morning for my cup of coffee, getting ready to go on the air, and this line of trucks with boats. And I was, what is this? It was the opening day of fishing season. Yeah. The next year, I actually covered it because it was just wild to see them
it's
go
huge.
Out like a regatta. It was amazing.
And there were not that many boats out this year. The water was actually pretty warm. It was one of the first days when we haven't had giant blocks of snow on the ground. And thank goodness today is not the first day of fishing, but it was just lovely. And Anne got these incredible photos, which actually we should, Alex, maybe you'll post them on Facebook for us today. There was this beautiful golden trout. I'd never seen one before. Not like I'm a big fisherman, but great photo that Anne took.
You know, and it's funny, that day that I covered the opening day of fishing season was like a day like today, except it was dry at first, and everybody went out, and about an hour later, it was like I was in Normandy and the invasion was coming back.
But everybody does want to go out in that lake. It's a tradition.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then, of course, you've got the Winter Sports Awards and also the Sharon Classic Road Race. Hey, that's coming up May 5th. That's amazing. 33 years. You know, I was around for the first one.
Oh no. Yeah.
I really was. Good for you. Honest to gosh.
Yeah. 12 people ran.
No.
We were hoping for a woman to win this year.
They actually had about 45 or 50 people
that's
first
good.
One. Yeah.
People love to run.
It's so big now, though. Yeah. I want to go on to our town's Leon Graham's Suarez on America's Future. That's coming up with the Salisbury Forum.
Next weekend at Housatonic Valley Regional High School. And Ray Suarez, he's so wonderful. I just love that guy. He's an NPR guy and PBS. And we'll be talking about getting ready for the next America. The fight over who will be. That's a very profound question. We are a different country now than we were a couple years ago.
Just wait 10 years.
We can have the talk again.
That's right. I like the story by Shaw in Norfolk. And it's cool, the Norfolk hub where nonprofits can share space.
Yeah, it's a good idea. And, of course, Dawn Whalen, who was here, she was head of Habitat for a little while, and is running this thing. And, you know, they've got filing cabinets and they've got telephones, and it's a nice idea.
All right, the Kent Board of Selectmen have made $50,000 in budget cuts.
And, of course, one of the big issues in Kent year after year has been that there's all the squabbling at Town Hall about people's salaries. You know, legitimately, of course, they have some serious concerns about it, so they were going to hire a consultant. So that's one of the big cuts they're making, is they're cutting down the cost of that and cutting back on the Welcome Center, some other, you know, not a lot of budget cutting this year, I have to say. It's been a pretty good year for that, so.
All right, another derailment of a train along the Housatonic River.
Yes, and in spite of what people are saying, nothing fell into the river.
No.
There was some stuff on the embankment, but this does happen. Those tracks are very old.
All right. Now, I like the story also on the art exhibit at Town Hall.
Yeah, Zelina Blackton's doing a nice job curating it, and she's got Alicia Magazzi has been putting together a show of the work of her grandfather, Charles Passazzi, who was a folk art painter. And she's done a couple of shows with him around the area. But interesting, nice. And it'll be up until, let's see, there's going to be a reception May 4th. I think it's going to be up for like a month or so.
All right. And Cynthia, you've got the story on spending up in Salisbury just a little bit.
I know. I got to go to a budget meeting. Patrick said you can go to...
Did you draw lots?
Hey, there's only one thing worse than that, and that's going to a Region 1 Board of Education meeting, so you're lucky.
I've done my time, baby. I've done my time at Region 1 Board of Ed. So Patrick said you could go to, he said you can go to Salisbury. That's the easy one. I'll go to the hard one. So thank you, Patrick.
All right. Now, I love the picture. And it almost looks like one guy stomping, but keeping invasives from spreading.
Yeah, well, you know, Tom Soderstrom takes a crew out to Washington Park, and it's mostly Hotchkiss kids. And Patrick, it's a very funny little story. You know, Patrick can make anything interesting and funny. And so he points out that they were trying to burn down the invasives, and little mini fires kept starting.
All right, we will go to the opinion and viewpoint pages, and you've got letters to the editor from ranging from gear to the grading system, the National Day of Prayer.
Right, and Bears and Elizabeth Esty. So, yeah, we are busy already with letters, which is great. We love having everyone's thoughts. We also have our editorial on Housatonic Valley Regional High School, needing a reset. So we tried to go through where we are now and what has happened in the past. And there's one part that Denise Cohn has already contacted me on where we say that when Vogel... Superintendent Pam Vogel stepped into the situation. There were 60% of students receiving a D or an F. And
hello?
Hello?
That was weird.
I think we lost Janet.
We did.
We know we did.
And I didn't do anything. It just happened. Well, she'll call us back. I know what she's going to say. Hello, Janet? I have to hang up so she can call back.
All right, let's quickly do the help page while that's doing. Patrick went to the talk at Housatonic Valley Regional High School on opioids, and interesting conversation at, you know, looking back to what Judy Workman was just talking about, which is that a lot of people are becoming addicted to these drugs because they're self-medicating. And then we have a story on this pudding that I found on the internet that I have this friend who's just so maddeningly restrictive on his food intake. But it's a great pudding. So if you're interested in finding a super healthy pudding, this week's health page. Is Janet back?
No, she might hear. Let's see if we can bring her back online.
Do you want to
go Janet,
ahead?
You there? Janet?
Yes, hello. Okay. Sorry about that. I'm not sure what quite happened.
There was probably a power outage somewhere along the line. And it just took you offline. So you can go on with what you were saying, please, because I think it's important when people read the editorial to understand what you're going to say.
Okay. Thank you. So what I was talking about was the editorial where we were saying that the superintendent, Pam Vogel, stepped into a situation where 60% of the students said HUSI had received a D or an F. And I have already heard from Denise Cohn saying, you know, they looked at those numbers later, and, you know, there were some students who had both a D and an F, and they were counted twice or something. But so I'm sure I didn't word that carefully enough to get it across that this is the data she was given Vogel when she came in. And so that was the data she was operating with. So I'll try to redo that wording a little bit online and talk about it next week as well in more depth.
Get more of it out there. Well, it's not really your fault on that because, the videos are out there on February 5th and 6th of this year from those meetings. And what happened was things got counted twice and everything like that. And it came in more like 27%. But the one who pointed this all out was the Salisbury representative at which pointed out the erroneous description.
Exactly. So, and it was after the fact far as when Vogel first came in, and that's what she was operating with. And so what we're trying to do in this editorial is look at all sides and be as fair as we can, but still come up with some suggestions as how we can move forward.
All right, so that's the editorial. But then, we've got other stories, and it's great because you go from I love the "Prepare to Leave a Blank" in the 2020 Census by Carol Asher, but also you've got a couple of other great commentary and stories on that page.
Yeah, Dick Ollis talks about how we digest the news and where we go for it. And it's really interesting. Take a read. And Dan Clough is a friend who is also the president of the Connecticut Council on Freedom of Information and an attorney who has a daughter who has a serious substance abuse problem. And it's a very personal piece, and he wants to share this information with everybody. He's very open about it, so don't miss that.
All right. Now, also, I want to get on to, it sounds crazy, but this is really, I think, one of the highlights of going into spring. That's Art at the Dump, the 21st and 22nd.
I love Art at the Dump. It's fantastic. It's this weekend. The Cornwall Transfer Station, don't miss it. Fantastic art supports the Cornwall Consolidated School.
There's just so much there. So we've got about 6.5, 7 minutes left, and we've got a couple of different special sessions to talk about. And it's time for your time behind the microphone here.
Oh, thanks, Marshall. This issue of Compass is a big fake news issue.
but don't miss it.
No, so, but yeah, for a good reason.
Don't miss it. But really, what I sort of realized after I put it together is that making up stuff is not new. Wiley Wood has a review of a book by a local author about how these Arctic explorers didn't necessarily do what they said they did when they came back and gave talks to huge adoring crowds. There was a little bit of braggadocio in there, and I guess especially Peary turned out that some of his claims weren't true. But you have to read the book. It's called To the Ends of the Earth, The Truth Behind the Glory of Polar Exploration by John DePell, who is a local writer, Salisbury. And then I have a review of the movie Chappaquiddick, which I had wholeheartedly expected to dislike because I know that the filmmakers took a lot of liberties with the actual story. And Marshall, I know that you and I both remember that weekend when the men were about to land on the moon, and then suddenly this strange story broke. The Kennedy machine tried their hardest to tell the story the way they wanted it told, but because it was so confusing, it didn't actually work out that way. But what did work out is that Senator Kennedy was able to not go to jail, not be charged with manslaughter, not be charged with perjury, and serve in the Senate for the next 47 years. But read my review. So that's the truth and lies and fake news of history. And then we go on to, there's a show in Hudson of Ellsworth Kelly, one of my favorites. And it's his work is mixed in with Shaker objects and pieces from his collection. He was a big collector of Shaker furniture and Shaker furniture. Anyway, I'm trying to talk fast in case no one can tell because I want to leave time for Alexander. So then we have a preview of a talk about Russian music in Lenox written by Fred Baumgarten. And it's a good piece. Read it and go hear the talk, which will be on Sunday, April 22nd at the Mount. That's all I have for
today. Let's talk about coconut fat for a second.
Oh, well, very quickly, we just had I had a little column on the pudding for this friend of mine.
We've got 3.5 more minutes left. That's all right.
Alex needs to talk. Go, Alex.
Okay, so we're talking about spring tonic. This was such a labor of hope. I wrote and edited and photographed so much of this while there was blizzard after blizzard after blizzard. And I'm talking about it here, and it's still snowing outside. But as I wrote in Spring Tonic, the only thing more annoying than snow in the spring is hearing everyone talk about snow in the spring. So we put this together to give something else for people to talk about. And it turned out really wonderfully. I had a lot of great contributors. Judy Murphy from Old Nursery Film wrote a beautiful essay about looking forward to spring. It may get here eventually. Bridget Dorsey, who sells preserves at Provisions at the White Hart, talked about using jam in your baking, in your dinner, in your cocktails, which I didn't know you could do. And then speaking of cocktails, Leela Hawken went up to Troutbeck, which everyone I know has been raving about. It's where everyone goes now. If you haven't been, just, you know, treat yourself and go out for a night. Anne Day came over to my house. We went to the florist. We found anything we could find for spring. There wasn't much there. Daffodils, tulips. But essentially, once the flowers come in, once you're bringing them into your home, Anne teaches you how to photograph them. That's sort of a large part of the pleasure of arranging bouquets in your house, is posting them on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook. And this is a true
masterclass.
Printed out with examples of what to do, what not to do. 5 pages in color, really, of
beautiful
work. And also, you can use this for anything. You can use this for pets, for your collections, for homes. Really, like, this is a game changer for using your phone. You don't need anything fancy. You don't need Photoshop. You can really just do this by moving your body, by looking the lens a different way. You will look at your phone a different way after reading this, I promise. Then I went over to Chandelle's, if you want to add a little pop of color in your photos, in your home. She also offers classes to people if they want to make their own textiles, if they want to print and marble their own paper. Again, something springy that you can do. It doesn't need to be spring outside to do something fun indoors. When spring eventually does come, Patrick Sullivan went out to tell us about how to avoid ticks. I think people are still thinking about ticks, even when there's snow on the ground.
It's the funniest story ever.
No one wants to get Lyme disease. That's an understatement around here. And finally, I wrote about pink, which is the new neutral, which might surprise people around here. It might not, because a lot of men have been wearing salmon their entire lives. But pale pink is really the... It is the color you're going to see for the rest of the year, through summer, through the fall. Shoes, couches, anything you can think of, pink colors. Get some pink. Why not?
Think pink. I think that's it.
There you go.
There's always the financial
pink,
yeah, issue.
Think pink.
Salmon. It's brilliant.
No, think pink. Salmon.
Once had a fight about the color of that paper?
The Financial Times?
Yep.
Yeah. You're so funny.
And what side did you take?
No. I watched two people go on. It was the publisher, and it was just a random lawyer, and they agreed on salmon.
Jeez. Salmon.
That's a good story.
God bless them is all I can say. Random lawyers.
Yes.
That's a horse of a different color and a story of different age.
And I just want to say that Alex starts out Spring Tonic saying, it's time to put away the fleeces and my black watch, and
he's wearing
his fleece. And
But
he's wearing white sneakers.
I haven't
sneakers.
Embraced it at all. I'm still in winter.
He's wearing a reindeer sweater.
We can either say fake news, or we can say that.
Fake weather news.
I should have worn pink.
Yeah, you should have worn pink.
What was it that?
We're going to go out and chat for pink stuff now.
The Lakeville Journal online at tricornernews.com on Facebook. And of course, the old fashioned way, read the damn paper. You can pick it up at newsstands. You can get it delivered to you. You can say damn.
Okay.
Especially Spring Tonic. It's great in print.
Get Spring Tonic in print. It'll cheer you up.
All right. Yeah. We'll speak to you guys next week.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
Thanks, Marshall.
Yeah. That is this week in the Lakeville Journal here on Robin Hood Radio. Once again, tricornernews.com and on Facebook on the web.